Welcome to The West Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes. All right. Thank you for coming to The West Steps today. And can you tell us who you are and what you do before we kind of jump into today's conversation?
Absolutely. I'm Glenn Mays. I'm a professor of health systems management and policy at the Colorado School of Public Health.
I think today we're going to chat a little bit about what's been on people's minds for the past about 2 weeks now, the coronavirus. Can you tell us what it is? What do we know and what do we don't know?
Yes. Well, this is the latest emerging infectious disease to affect us here in the U.S. And around the globe. It's a virus. Humans have a long history of doing battle with viruses. This particular virus, it's a new virus, emerged, initially in China. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of viruses, it attacks our lungs, our cardiovascular system. It causes, it can, in severe cases, it can cause problems breathing. Mm-hmm. It can cause cardiovascular problems, and can be very serious. And it's also quite infectious. It spreads quite easily from person to person.
How does it spread? Do we know?
It spreads like most other viruses, just like the cold viruses that cause colds, and like the flu virus. Mostly, it spreads through through coughing and sneezing, and through touching surfaces that other people, with the virus have touched primarily.
So we've seen countries like Italy kind of shut down everything. What do you think is behind how here in the U.S. we've responded very kind of a little bit slow to begin with?
Yeah, I think our slow response is primarily because of uncertainty about where this disease is in the U.S. and how prevalent it is. We got, unfortunately, a slow start in testing, in rolling out the ability to test for this condition. So we've had a lot of uncertainty about where it is, how quickly it's spreading. We're starting to catch up now and starting to get a better handle on how large this is and how large it could be unless we get a little more aggressive in containing this mm-hmm. this threat. Mm-hmm.
So who is being affected currently? Which part of the demographic is getting hit pretty hard on this?
Yeah, so I think we're all susceptible to being affected by this virus. But in terms of the segments of the population that are most likely to experience severe health problems associated with the virus, it's definitely older adults and adults with other underlying health conditions, particularly lung conditions, breathing conditions, and cardiovascular heart disease types of conditions. So all of us can catch the virus, can carry the virus, and can spread the virus. Most people who get the virus actually don't have severe problems. Many mm-hmm. people have the virus and are totally unsymptomatic. Mm-hmm. But the people whose health status is really vulnerable to it are older adults and adults with existing health conditions.
So we haven't, at least I haven't, maybe you have, seen any cases in the media of children. Is that related to kind of the nature of the virus, or is just children tend to have not have those kind of respiratory or lung diseases that you just talked about?
Yeah, it does appear this virus does not severely affect children. There are cases in children. One of the early cases in Washington State was a high school kid, so an older kid. but there are cases documented in other countries of children, even very very young infants having the virus. Mm-hmm. But children don't appear to. Are much less likely to experience severe symptoms. And we don't really know exactly why. One theory is that children at that age are exposed to lots of viruses. They have very active immune systems. And so they may have some somewhat kind of natural immunity either to this virus or to the, are better able to fight off the symptoms of this virus.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the unintended consequences of this, I guess, is it has exposed some of the flaws of our infrastructure around public health. So for a listener who kind of never contemplated the purpose of public health, can we start why public health? What is the point?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we often say, you know, public health is invisible until things go wrong, and then we see it. And this is a case in point. When we have a large-scale outbreak and things haven't gone quite as well, then we see public health and we see the problems of having weaknesses in our public health system. Our public health system here in the U.S. are a constellation of both government agencies and their private sector partners who basically focus on the mission of protecting and improving health status for the population at large, not one patient at a time, but putting in place protections that protect health status for the entire community, the entire population. It includes local, state, and federal agencies. We hear a lot about CDC as being the federal public health agency. Mm-hmm. A lot of the work really happens by our state and especially our local public health agencies. That's where a lot of the staff and a lot of the work goes into actually delivering programs and putting in place protections like these infectious disease control strategies that we're trying to scale up now.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe it would be useful to kind of talk about what a good public health infrastructure looks like and what one that kind of crumbles under such large outbreaks looks like, so that we know where investments could be. Can you give us some examples of these?
Sure. We typically think about public health systems having three major activities, components of work. There's the assessment function, which is being able to have strong information and surveillance systems to detect diseases and hazards rapidly in the environment and find out where they are, who's affected, and to quickly mobilize responses. That's assessment. Mm-hmm. There's also a strong role for policy development and implementation, mm-hmm. putting in place policies that can protect and improve health status. Like in the case of infectious disease, quarantines, having to close schools or businesses, those kind of social distancing policies. And then there's what we call the assurance role, which is really delivering services and programs that are designed to protect and improve health, including health education, making sure that people know what the risks are and what they can do to protect themselves, creating public education campaigns, vaccination programs, large-scale testing strategies. All of those functions are key pieces of the public health system.
Mm-hmm. So I think one thing we kind of, the sensation of news and all of that kind of has compounded in this kind of, this buying of, products that we might not think to be kind of immediate, things like canned food or toilet paper. Can you talk us through some of the things that happen when we have outbreaks like this? What is the buying characteristics that kind of shifts people towards this unexpected purchases that happen, and how does that fit into what you just described in a very good public health society?
Yeah, well, so one of the concerns we have when there's a large scale outbreak like this is that the widespread disease will actually cause shortages in basic goods and services that we need to survive, either because people can't go to work, businesses can't stay open, those kind of things. And we are seeing some of that here in the U.S., shortages of certain kinds of supplies. And much of that is based on, I think, some concerns about what may be coming in the future. Mm-hmm. But there are also real concerns about, shortages in our healthcare system that could arise if more people get sick and more people try to go to the emergency room of the hospital, the potential to overwhelm our current capacity, healthcare system capacity. That's our greatest concern with an outbreak like this. Mm-hmm. And the public health system has a large role to play in helping to slow the progression of the disease so that we don't overwhelm our health system capacity, as well as our other you know, social service capacities, the ability to make sure everybody can get food on the table and can go to work and have incomes and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That's our concern. That is a major role for the public health system. And unfortunately, our public health systems aren't all strong enough to do everything that they need to do when these kind of diseases arise.
Mm-hmm. I think one, especially for a state like Colorado, where we have a very distinct kind of rural and urban communities, can you talk to us how the outcomes in such disease may be disproportional, not just by demographic, but also by location?
Absolutely. The fact of the matter is our public health systems, particularly at the local level, really operate on shoestring budgets and with limited staffing. And so what the problem is when these new threats arise, like this new coronavirus, there are real constraints in terms of what public health systems can do, particularly in smaller rural areas. The county health department and some of our rural counties in Colorado just have minimal staffing, and they're doing lots of things. They're doing running maternal and child health programs. Mm-hmm. They're running other, you know, infectious disease programs, chronic disease programs. They're dealing with the opioid outbreak. Mm-hmm. They're trying to deal with teen vaping and with obesity. All that stuff has to be put on hold to try to now shift and respond to the this new outbreak.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in most cases, you know, most of us are trying to be as cautious as possible. But what can people do in a situation where, you know, our public health infrastructure is, you know, not where we want it to be, where we need it to be? Before we talk about some of the solutions for the public health program, what do you think people individually and collectively can do?
Absolutely. So one thing you can educate yourself about your local community public health system, and that's especially important now. Your best source of information about what's happening with this coronavirus and what you need to do is actually your city or county health department where you live. Make sure you know who that is. Make sure you know where their website is. If you're on social media, you may want to follow them on Twitter so you're getting the updates from your local public health system. Mm-hmm. That's one thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, be aware of the things that we can do as individuals and households to keep ourselves safe in terms of you know, obviously good hand hygiene, as we've been talking about, making sure that you've got, you know, some resources stockpiled in your house, food and any routine medications that your family needs, so that if you need to stay home for a week or two, you can do that as easily as possible. Mm-hmm. Those are a few, you know, important things. I think especially knowing who your local public health agency is and how to get information from that entity, very important.
Yeah, I think, you know, on top of everything else individuals can do, I think it's very important to think about this as a, we need to be responding on a social level, not just individual level. So I think being, you know, this is, I think, a really good call for businesses to think about who can work from home and who needs to be there, and thinking about providing, you know, leave, medical leave, and paying people for that, I think is something we can do as a society that would really curb the rate of infection. So what is kind of, you know, I'm hoping this isn't forever, right? Like this epidemic kind of slows down and life kind of picks up again. And I think when we jump back to how things will be eventually, we need to really think about how to best fund our public health and how best to equip all local and federal agencies that combat things like pandemics to be really functioning really well. So what are some of the things that, in terms of the policy space and in terms of funding, that we should really think about right now, so when we actually get back as business as usual, we start really putting resources towards this?
That's a great question. We really do, as a society, need to understand the value of a strong public health system and understand and be willing to invest to have that strong public health system. Most state and local public health agencies around the country never recovered from the economic recession of 2008. They experienced large budget cuts, about a 25% loss in all of our public health workers at state and local levels. Wow. That never bounced back after, you know, 12 years ago. the economic recession. So we as a society really need to take a careful look at our public health system and make the investments we need to. We've been failing to invest in this system for more than 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that's really unexcusable now, given the economy that
especially in our state, yeah.
Most of the U.S. has enjoyed over these next few years. And so we have to recognize that it is an investment, and we get returns from that investment as a society in terms of these protections.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now seeing, the economic harm that can be produced because we don't have a strong public health system.
Yeah.
We're going to be experiencing likely some economic downturn due to this outbreak and mm-hmm. due to our slowness and incomplete ability to respond to it. And so it's a very important issue that we need to tackle. And it's really at all levels, federal, state, and local levels. We need investments at all of those levels to build a strong public health infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So beyond increasing, I think this is kind of some of the things that you mentioned, beyond increasing the fundings for these programs, what are other recommendations, policy recommendation we should be thinking about in terms of do we need to be expanding these offices to think about diseases that are, we don't know, because I think most of our public resources, especially in public health, is spent combating some of the issues that we already see.
Mm-hmm.
We have very little investments in what could be happening. So can you talk to us through some of the policies that maybe, thinking in the future, what are some of the resources we could put towards?
Sure. Well, globally, our economy has been revolutionized by advances in data and technology and computing power.
Mm-hmm.
We have not done a good job at applying those new tools of data science and big data to the public health enterprise and the public health system. So we need to really modernize our public health system to take advantage of the large data and computing possibilities that we can now apply to quickly discovering health threats and responding to them rapidly. That's part of the problem why this outbreak got the jump on us here in the U.S. We didn't have strong data and surveillance systems to detect them rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get on the digital data revolution and apply that to public health
mm-hmm.
here in the U.S. So that's one thing. The other thing is building stronger connections and partnerships, particularly at the community level, between our public health agencies and all the other social and community organizations that need to play a role in keeping us safe and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships with schools, with businesses that you mentioned, with the medical care enterprise, and with the constellation of social service agencies that need to play a role, housing, transportation,
mm-hmm.
the food systems, and others.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that is missing in this kind of general conversation is that the people who are most vulnerable to this, the closest to this, people unhoused and people in low-income communities are the people who need the most resources and have the least access. So I think it's in the benefit of all of us to design a system that benefits everybody as a public. Just before we wrap up, I know that we've said, throughout this conversation to not panic but to listen to public officials. So what are some of the things that you want people to take away from this as things kind of, the last 72 hours have been pretty fast moving, and I'm assuming the next 72 will as well. So what are some of the things people should keep in mind as they kind of get ready?
Yeah, I would, again, very important, don't panic. Recognize that we do this as human beings periodically. We have to do battle with these viruses that have been fighting us for millennia, and we actually know a lot about how to combat them. So be smart, be connected to your community and to your public health, your local public health agency in particular, as an mm-hmm. information source.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, watch out for your neighbors. Take care. Be aware of your neighbors and other community members. Be aware of vulnerable members in your community, particularly if you've got older adults, family members, and others. Keep an eye on them. Stay connected to them. We all have a role to play this is a collective response to this threat.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stay connected and watch out and take care of each other.
Well, thank you so much for making time for us and for a very enlightening conversation. And hopefully we'll talk to you very soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So some ads this time. Steph, who's our sponsor?
Support for this episode is provided by Effect, a Denver-based digital agency that helps campaigns win elections.
I like winning elections.
Effect. Winning elections is important.
It is
very
important.
Effect supports outstanding candidates and initiatives that are focused on winning their election in order to positively transform communities. Learn more at EFFCT.org.
I didn't get that. Can you repeat that last part?
EFFCT.org.
Right. No, right? I didn't see the music coming. Coming in at the end.
Talent.
The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. If you want to support our work, go to coloradokids.org.
Fun fact, you can also find out Erica's pet peeves on her profile page on our website.
Please don't do that.